All right, it looks like in our Bibles we are going to, where are we going? Are we going to Romans or are we going to 1 Corinthians? Romans. Okay, we're going to Romans. That's not what my sheet here says, but I believe that's what the bulletin says, right? Okay, Romans chapter 12, is that correct? And what verses should I go to?
3 through 8.
3 through 8. Okay, Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. I hear pages turn. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Let's make sure I read the right scripture passage here. Romans 12, starting with verse number 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Well, let's go to God in prayer. Father, my prayer is that each and every one of us here will have eyes open to this whole topic of spiritual gifts. This is so important for the church as a whole and for a church body that we have all been gifted. So, Father, maybe we're still struggling with trying to figure out what gift or gifts we may have. So, Father, I just pray that throughout this whole series that we will be able to understand and be able to know what those gifts are that we have, that we've been gifted with, and that we can use them for the edification of the body and for your glory. So, Father, we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, this is week number 4 in our sermon series on spiritual gifts, and it's been kind of scattered because week number 1 was back in November, weeks number 2 and 3 were in early January, and here we are with week number 4, and it hasn't been very connected, so to speak, as far as time-wise, but I think from here on out, weather-dependent, we'll be good with finishing up this series. A series on spiritual gifts. What is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is a special ability provided by the Holy Spirit to Christians for the purpose of edifying, which means building up the body of Christ. They are supernatural in the sense that they have been gifted to believers by the power of the Holy Spirit, just as He determines. As I've been saying each week, spiritual gifts are not earned, they are not learned, they cannot be bought, and they cannot be taught. Why? Because they are gifts. But before we get into the four gifts that I'm going to cover today, I need to ask each and every one of us this rather simple question. Do you ever, and this is kind of really, I hope you take this with some serious thought. Do you ever wonder what purpose you serve on the face of this earth? Why am I here? Do you ever wonder, here I am, just this one little person. How does my little piece of the puzzle fit into this big thing that we call life? I think it's a great question to ask ourselves. Too often we might think, why am I here? What do I need to do? How can I contribute to anything? Well, you can. And there's a great answer to that. I'm convinced that with this series on spiritual gifts, we're going to learn that God has gifted each and every one of us, some of us with multiple gifts, to have a purpose as believers. And once we identify what that gift or those gifts are, and we start using them in the proper way, we can all lead a life that is very, very meaningful, very, very purposeful, and very, very fulfilling when we know that we have used what God has given us to serve His purpose for the body of believers. So I needed to say that, and it's a good thing to kind of keep in the back of our mind that these gifts do give us purpose, a genuine purpose as believers. So what have we covered so far? Well, three weeks ago, I guess, we covered the first four spiritual gifts. Now, how many are there? Well, it depends on who you ask. Some people say, I'm coming up with 12. Some people come up with 9. Some people come up with more. And there's what I call ordinary gifts, and there's miraculous gifts. And some of the gifts overlap so much, some theologians just kind of put them all together. Well, I come up with 12 because it works out really well when you do it for 3 weeks. You got 4 each week. So I come up with 12. So we covered the gift of prophecy. That was the first one, which means to speak forth the word of God or to make known in any way the truth of God's word. When you speak scripture to somebody else, you are actually being a prophet because you're making known the word of God to somebody else. We covered the gift of serving, the second one, which simply means to lend a hand or do, and sometimes do, the most mundane and sometimes the most disagreeable task. But the people with this gift, they do it with a spirit of humility and a spirit of grace. We looked at this gift, the gift of serving, in terms of serving the church as a whole, versus the gift of helps, which we will cover next week, which is geared more towards individual needs. 3 weeks ago, we covered the third gift, the gift of teaching. A spiritually gifted teacher has the gift to explain the meaning and the context and the application of God's word to other believers. They have a unique ability to clearly instruct and communicate biblical knowledge. And I emphasize biblical knowledge over one's opinion of what they think the Bible says. And then we covered, fourth and foremost, 3 weeks ago, the gift of encouragement. A person with this gift focuses on the practical application of the Bible. They can relate to others with understanding and with sympathy and with positive guidance. Whereas the teacher would say, this is the way you should go, the encourager would say this, I will help you go in this direction. A person with the gift of encouragement can help another person move from pessimism to optimism, from fear to faith. So those are the four that we covered a couple weeks ago. And now we're going to get into the four that we're going to cover here today. Four more gifts. The first one, which we read about here in the scripture from Romans, is the gift of giving or the gift of generosity. Remember, different Bible translations may use different words to describe the gift. The gift of giving, we'll just call it giving. Keep it simple. It comes from the Greek word metadidomi. Metadidomi, which means to impart or to give. To give what? Well, in Romans 12:8, the word is accompanied by another Greek word, which is haplotes. Now, I'm not no Greek major by any chance, by any sense of the word, but I do know this. When you understand some of these Greek words, it helps you to understand what Paul's trying to get across. When you combine the words giving with this descriptive word, Greek word haplotes, it means that the giver gives sincerely and without pretense or hypocrisy. There are many people who can give, but they can give how? Reluctantly. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But that's not how a person with this gift gives. They give sincerely. They give without pretense or without hypocrisy. Gifted givers are those who joyfully share what they have with others, be it their time or their talents or their treasure. It doesn't necessarily always have to be something financial. I'll just put one person on the spot here. Miss Cindy comes and she gives her talent each and every Sunday playing the piano for us. And she has, even though that is a talent to play the piano, she has the spiritual gift of giving because she gives that talent for the sake of the body here. The giver, if you have this gift, the giver is concerned for the needs of others and seeks opportunities to share with them as a need arises. Those with this gift love to share with others the overflowing blessings that God has given them, be it their time or their talent or their treasure. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says this, that God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. And that's what this gift, spiritual gift of giving, is all about. So how does the gift of giving edify the body? Well, those with this gift meet the needs of the church, and they meet the needs of the people in the church by generously and without hypocrisy their time and their talent and their treasure, whatever they may have to give. And when one has this gift of giving, it edifies those who do not. Now, again, using the example of Cindy, sure, there might be several of us in here that know how to play the piano, and that's a great thing. But Cindy, pretty much every Sunday, is behind that piano playing and giving her time and her talent to most of us who cannot. And help us through the music. Cindy, thank you for your gift of giving. So I ask, to all of us here, do you feel comfortable and is it easy for you to give either your time or your talent or your treasure to the church and to other believers? And if you say answer to that yes, perhaps you have the gift of giving. So that's our first one for today. The second one, leadership. Some Bibles might say administration. So I'm going to use the term leadership. The gifted leader, and I love some of the information that I found on this, on some of the Christian websites. The gifted leader is one who rules, presides over, or has the management of other people in the church. The word literally means to guide, and carries with it the idea of one who actually steers a ship. One with the gift of leadership rules with wisdom and rules with grace and exhibits the fruit of the Spirit as he or she leads by example. Oh, that's key, by example. There are several characteristics of those with the spiritual gift of leadership. They understand. Now, this is very important. I'm really glad that I found this because a lot of people have leadership, but is it the gift of leadership, and is it a biblically foundational gift of leadership? And when I read this, I said, this is really important. Those with the spiritual gift of leadership understand that they are not the absolute rulers, but they themselves are subject to the one who is over all of them, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. Recognizing his or her place in the hierarchy of the administration of the church body of Christ prevents that gifted leader from succumbing to pride or to a sense of entitlement. The truly gifted Christian leader recognizes that he or she is but a slave of Christ and a servant of those that he or she leads. Thought that was real important. I guess we just cannot let this gift get to our head, as it says, in pride or a sense of entitlement. So how does the gift of leadership edify the body? Well, I'm going to tell you something you already know. There's two sides to every church. There's a spiritual side, but then there's also a business side of church. The business side is very, very important in the life of the church. And the people with the gift of leadership / administration, they lead the church on this business side. There are always, always bills to pay. There are always grounds to be maintained. There are always events to be planned. There are always records to be kept. And there are always all sorts of other business-related decisions that need to be made. And I guarantee, without good church leadership, a church is doomed to failure. And when one has the gift, it edifies those who do not. So I ask, do you feel comfortable and is it easy for you to feel like you can lead and you can govern and you can make important decisions concerning the business side of the church without having the air of pride or the sense of entitlement? Because that's what would separate the godly from those who are doing it just for a position. And if you do, perhaps you have the gift of leadership. And we'll be talking again around June of this year, because we would love for you to be part of the church board. You know, as I was practicing this message yesterday, I thought, isn't that something that those two gifts are side by side? Giving and leadership. We do not have this issue here at Beech Grove Church. But there are churches that have some people in them, some churches, some people, who think that the more they give financially, the more power they should have in decisions that the church makes. My friends, that should never, ever be. How much you give to a church does not rate you higher on the decisions that you make. If the Lord has blessed you to give generously, praise the Lord. If He has blessed you to be in leadership, praise the Lord. But your money does not buy decisions. Amen? Amen. Amen. Next one, the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy, I believe, is closely linked with the gift of encouragement. But the gift of mercy is obvious in those who have compassion. What a great word. Compassion towards others who are in distress, by showing sympathy and sensitivity coupled with a desire and the resources to lessen their suffering in a kind and cheerful manner. Before I go on, I'll just use this morning's example. We have a sister in Christ here this morning who is hurting. And I guarantee there will be those with the gift of mercy who are going to reach out, the gift of encouragement, to reach out to that particular person and help that individual. Did you know that in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, one of the Beatitudes is this? He says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy," from Matthew 5, 7. Mercy is what we express when we are led by God to be compassionate in our attitudes, in our words, and in our actions. It is more than just feeling sympathy towards someone. It is love in action. Oh, I love that. It's more than just feeling sympathy. It is love in action. Mercy desires to answer the immediate need of others, to alleviate, or at least to help alleviate, their suffering, their loneliness, and their grief. Mercy addresses the physical, the emotional, the financial, or a spiritual crisis with generous, self-sacrificial service. Self-sacrificial. Mercy is a champion of the lowly, the poor, the exploited, the forgotten, and often acts on their behalf. So how does the gift of mercy edify the body? I believe there are times when a believer can become discouraged with their circumstances, either due to maybe their own foolish mistakes or simply through absolutely no fault of their own. These people do not need to be judged, and they certainly do not need to be shunned. What do they need? They need mercy. That's what they need. I also believe those with this gift are keen at identifying those who need mercy in the life of another believer. They bring the mercy needed to that individual, which in turn helps them by building them up and strengthening them and edifying them in their relationship to God and to the church. It is a wonderful, absolutely wonderful reflection of the compassion of Christ. And when one has this gift, it certainly edifies those who do not. So I ask, do you feel comfortable? And is it easy for you to show mercy to others who really need mercy? Perhaps, if you do, then perhaps you have the gift of mercy. And our last and final one we're going to cover today actually comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And you don't have to look that up now, but it's part of that list. It's the word of wisdom. Word of wisdom. Now, some people don't include this on their list of spiritual gifts. They kind of combine it with others. And that's fine, but I'm going to keep it as a separate gift. And it's kind of hard to describe, so maybe I should have combined it with something else. But I'll try to describe this one the best that I can. The fact that the gift is described as a word of wisdom indicates that it's probably one of the speaking gifts, something that we speak into the lives of others. The gift describes someone who can understand and speak forth biblical truth in such a way as to skillfully apply it to life situations with all discernment. It is the ability to understand God's word and His will and skillfully apply that understanding to life's situation. It is similar to prophecy in that it deals with speaking the truth of God's word. It is similar to encouragement that it applies God's word. And it is similar to mercy in that it reaches out to those in need. But I believe the major difference in this gift called the word of wisdom is that sets this gift apart from the other gifts is that the people who have this, they use godly words or godly advice given through experience. It's very easy for one who has been down that path to give godly wisdom to someone else who is encountering that path for the first time. And I think that's where the word of wisdom sets itself apart from the other gifts. So I ask, do you feel comfortable and is it easy for you to speak godly wisdom into the lives of those who really need to hear it, who are going down a path that you have been down, that need to hear of your experience and how you dealt with that experience and with God in that experience? If so, perhaps you have the gift of the word of wisdom. Well, so far, over the 2 weeks, we've covered the gift of prophecy, the gift of serving, the gift of teaching, the gift of encouragement, the gift of giving, the gift of leadership / administration, the gift of mercy, and the gift of words of wisdom, which I have called the ordinary gifts versus the miraculous gifts, which we will cover here in a few weeks. I'm sure that you have seen where some of these gifts have really overlapped each other, and that's going to happen with all these gifts. That is to be expected. So the spiritual gifts, why? What's their purpose? Well, the spiritual gifts gives us a purpose as a Christian on the face of this earth. But the body of Christ, the church, we need to be strong. We need to make a difference in this world. We need to be a difference in this world. And to accomplish this, we, the body, we need to be edified. We need to be built up by each other. You have gifts that I do not have. Praise the Lord. And when you use your gifts, you edify me and you edify others that don't have those gifts. And I have gifts that some of you don't have. And when I use my gifts, I pray that my gifts help edify you. I say this, let's make and keep this church, Beech Grove Christian Church, healthy and strong by using the gifts that He has given us. And when we do, that's exactly what will happen. Let's go to God in prayer.